When I was in college, right after World War I, I had a job at a construction site. Now, those of you that know me well, which is the vast majority of people in this room, know that I do not have any construction skills. I love all of you, and if I can be of any assistance to you whatsoever in that area, I'm happy to do it. But I do not have any skills in that area. I rely on people like David Duckett and Chris Warren and others who are called of God to serve us in that way. But going through college, I needed money. So there was a man who agreed to hire me, and I was basically a laborer on his construction site. And this guy will remain nameless, even though none of you know him. But let me just say that he was mean. And I would perform my duties to the best of my ability, and because I was not skilled in that area, I would mess things up. And he would yell at me routinely. And he would say sarcastic, cutting things to me routinely. I would do a certain job, and he would be off doing something else, and I would complete my job, and he would come back and say, "Remind me to never tell you to do that again." Meaning, of course, you stink at that. And he would routinely yell at all of us on the construction site. He was just an unpleasant person to work for. And it was so great the day that I quit that job. And I was so happy because I got a job at First Baptist Reseda in the San Fernando Valley as their youth pastor. Imagine my joy being able to leave the construction site and go do what I love and work for godly Christian people. Now, if I had gone to work at the church and I had done something, I had messed something up, and my old boss had come in and said, "Remind me to never ask you to do that again. I want you to go do this over here." Do I have to follow him? Do I have to obey him? No! He is no longer my boss. I don't have to listen to him at all. In the book of Romans, in chapter 6, we learn that you and I have been set free from our old boss. And the boss that you and I used to serve in our old life is the cruelest, meanest boss ever. But the book of Romans tells us that we have been set free from our old master. Would you open to Romans chapter 6 and stand with me in honor of the Holy Scriptures as we read today's passage? Romans 6:15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either to sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you please take a few silent moments to pray that God, through His Holy Spirit, would help you to believe, understand, and accept the beautiful truth of these 8 verses. Now, would you please pray for the people in front of you, behind you, to your left and to your right, that God would open their hearts and help them to understand and believe and apply these verses to their life. Now would you pray for me? I have one job and one job only. That's to explain the scripture and get out of the way. You didn't come here to listen to David. If you did, you've wasted your time. You came here to listen to the Apostle Paul. And my only job is to bring his words alive to you. So pray that I can do that. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 15. Paul says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace?" Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? This is a very important question. This is a perfectly understandable question, right? Because we believe, according to the Apostle Paul and according to Scripture, that we are saved by grace. Amen? You are not saved because you stop sinning and start living a righteous life. Amen? You are not saved because you have become a good person. You are certainly not saved because you are good enough, because you stop sinning enough, because you do enough good deeds. You are not saved because of that, because no matter how many good deeds you do, you will fall well short of the amount of good deeds necessary to earn your salvation. Would you say amen to that? You are saved by grace. It is a free gift of God. God looks down at you and says, "They are a sinner. There is nothing they can do to earn their salvation. I am going to give them salvation free of charge. My Son, Jesus Christ, will pay the entire price." So once you understand that, and once Paul has explained that to us in chapters 1 through 5, Paul begins to address the question, now what do we do? And in verse 1, he says, "Shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase?" In verse 15, he says, shall we sin because we're under grace? And the question that's being asked is, if God has forgiven me of all of my sins and given me salvation as a free gift, that means I can just keep on sinning because I'm forgiven. Paul wants to answer that question. And he says in verse 15, may it never be. May it never be. You see, if you truly understand the truth of the gospel, then you truly understand the truth about your sin. And we understand that sin grieves God. Sin dishonors God. Sin angers God. And when we truly understand our sin, we understand the truth of the first statement in your notes. Tom, do you have that statement up there? When we truly know the truth, our strongest desire in life is to have victory over sin. Understanding the gospel, understanding that I'm forgiven, not based on my own works, but based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, understanding that doesn't make me want to sin more, it makes me want to sin less. Because I'm so grateful for what Jesus has done for me. When God opens your eyes, Trinity Baptist Church, when you realize the truth given to us in the Bible, when you realize the truth given to us in the Bible, you don't want to sin more, you want to sin less. In fact, the greatest desire of your life is to have victory over sin. Look at verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one who you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Paul is answering the question, why, if I'm forgiven freely, why shouldn't I keep sinning? And verse 16 answers the question. People that present their bodies to sin are slaves to sin. Jesus said the same thing. Look behind me on the screen. John 8, 31 through 36, our Lord Jesus says this. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen, Trinity Baptist? The truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. Is that true? No, it isn't. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answers the question. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The apostle Peter said the same thing. Look, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, behind me on the screen, Peter says, promising, Peter talking about false teaching, he says, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Number one in your notes, you and I were a slave of sin. You and I were a slave of sin. Before you were born again, you were a slave of sin. And I want to tell you that if you're here this morning and you are not born again, you're a slave of sin right now. Look at verse 17. Romans 6:17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were committed. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. This is the greatest thing, Trinity Baptist Church. This is the greatest thing. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were set free from sin. You were set free. You are not a slave of sin anymore. And Paul says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. We looked at Romans 6:1-11 a few weeks ago. Let's look at it again. Turn back to chapter 6:1-11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? When you became a Christian, you died to sin. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? You're not saved by baptism, you're saved by faith. But if you are a Christian here today and you have not been baptized, you are missing out on the very first act of obedience that God calls you to do. The very first one. It's part of conversion. When Peter in Acts chapter 2 preaches the gospel and they say, "What should we do?" He says, "Believe and be baptized." Believe and be baptized. It doesn't mean baptism saves you. Believing saves you, but baptism is the very next step you do. If you're here and you're part of Trinity Baptist Church and you haven't been baptized, please come up and talk to me afterwards. Baptism is the God-commanded celebration service that begins your relationship with God. You're not saved by baptism. You're saved the moment you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But baptism comes next. And baptism symbolizes the change that God makes in your heart. You are buried in the water. The old you that's a slave to sin, the old you that's a slave to sin is buried with Christ, and a new you that is not a slave to sin is raised with Jesus Christ. That's the awesome change that takes place in your life. Verse 5. If we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. I'm going to drive this point home, Trinity Baptist Church. Christians are not slaves to sin. We've been set free. Would you say amen to that? 7. For he who has died is freed from sin. If we've died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Number 2 in your notes, this is very important. Grace doesn't set us free to sin. Grace sets us free from sin. Grace doesn't set us free to sin. Grace sets us free from sin. Let's look at verse 19. Romans 6:19. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness resulting in sanctification. Paul says, now that you've been set free from sin, stop presenting your bodies to sin. Instead, present your bodies to righteousness. Do you realize something? Someone who is spiritually dead, someone who does not have Christ in their heart, cannot live for Jesus. They can't do it. They are a slave of sin. And no matter how hard they try, no matter how many good works they pile up, no matter how much money they give, no matter how much service projects they do, no matter how active they are in a church, no matter what, they cannot truly live for Jesus because they're a slave of sin. You and I have the privilege to live for Jesus because in Christ we've been set free from sin. Look at verse 20 in your notes. Not in your notes, in the Bible. Verse 20. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. I want you to notice the word ashamed. Ashamed. See, people were attacking Paul. People read the book of Romans, and Paul said, we're not saved by works, we're saved by grace. It's a free gift. And people were making fun of Paul, and they're saying, well, that message is silly. We'll just keep on sinning then. And Paul says, well, you have missed the point. You've missed the point. And look what he says in verse 31. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? Brothers and sisters of Trinity, we used to be slaves of sin. But God has saved us and set us free from sin. And if your eyes have been opened to believe the gospel, then you're ashamed of how you used to live, aren't you? Brothers and sisters, we're ashamed of our sin. I'm ashamed of how I used to live. And I'm ashamed of my sin now, because I still sin. I still sin every day. I sin even more than I know. And the closer I get to Jesus, the more I see how short I fall from truly being a godly man. And the closer I get to Jesus, the more ashamed of my sin I am. Far from saying, oh, God, save me, I can keep on sinning. The person who truly has their eyes open to understand the gospel looks at the life of sin with shame and says, what benefit did I get from that? The outcome of those things is death. Look at verse 32. I'm sorry, 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. You know, I'm always amazed by these things right here. I'm not a tech-savvy individual. I praise God for my wife and daughters who are trying not to laugh there in the back right now as I'm talking about this smartphone. But I praise God for my wife and daughters who can show me around this beautiful thing. And you all know, I'm kind of behind the times, but you all know that these things do everything. Everything. And one thing that has always been a weakness to me is directions. I can't find my way around the valley, and I've lived here since 1995, but ta-da! There's an app on this thing here, as Mike would say, this bad boy. There's an app on this thing right here. You put in your address. My wife has set it up somehow, I don't know how. I put in my address and I push a couple buttons and a voice tells me where to go. Turn left here, turn right here, at the light, turn right. And off I go and I can find my way. It's a beautiful thing. And I was watching the newer cars have that too. You may have that on your car. You plug it into the dashboard. There's a TV on the dashboard. You plug it in. Forgive me. I drive a 1994 F-150 that I love very much, but it does not tell me driving directions. So you can plug it into your newer car, and a voice, either male or female, will tell you where to go. And I saw a show on television where it was a murder show, and the murderer had somehow broken into the victim's car and replaced the CD or whatever they use to program those things, and had corrupted that system somehow, planned the whole thing out. And the poor guy got in his car, and he was going to go to such and such a place, and he plugged in the address on his car, but the murderer had programmed it to take him to a different place. So he's blindly following the directions on the coming from the dashboard, and it takes him into a dark alley, and the guy kills him. That road led to death. And what Paul is saying in verse 21, the sin road leads to death. The sin road leads to death. And brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, you and I were on that road. You and I were on that road. And there was nothing we could do to get off that road. No amount of good deeds, no amount of money in the offering plate, no amount of church attendance, church membership, no amount of religious activity, nothing whatsoever you do, pile up your good deeds as high as you possibly can, you cannot get off the road on your own. And the end of that road is death. But God saved us. Amen. God saved us. Salvation is a free gift. God, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, forgave us of our sins, made us his child, and did more than that, put us on a different road. And that's what I want you to see this morning in this beautiful text. Salvation is not only for the future. When you become a Christian, you're saved from hell in the future, but you're also saved from being a slave to that old road. And God makes you a new person and sets you on a new road. Number four in your notes. I'm sorry, three. God gives us the power and privilege to stop serving sin and live serving God. And we are called and commanded to do so. God gives us the power and privilege to stop serving sin and live serving God. And we're commanded to do so. The end of that road is death. You know what's at the end of that road?
heaven forever. Heaven forever. And by God's grace in Christ, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God places you on that road. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number four in your notes. God's grace gives us salvation as a free gift. And that's why we love Jesus, amen? That's why we love Jesus. We were slaves to the very sinful desires that were going to take us to hell. But God saved us by his grace and gave us a whole new life. And that's number five in your notes. Salvation doesn't just save you from eternity in hell, it saves you from a life of sin. Keep your finger in Romans 6, or a bookmark. Keep a bookmark in Romans 6 and turn to a beautiful story in Mark chapter 5. The Lord saves someone. The Lord saved a very, very, very lost and dying individual in Mark chapter 5. Let's look at that. Mark 5. They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. When he, Jesus, got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains, and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he'd been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send him out of the country. I want you to see the incredibly awful condition of this man. And I want you to realize that you and I were in the same condition. You may not have been possessed with an unclean spirit where you were breaking chains and running around a graveyard, but you were lost and on the road to hell. Your condition was hopeless. And Jesus reached down to you and he saved you just like he's going to save this guy. Verse 11. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby in the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen ran away and reported in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man. Look at him, Trinity Baptist. Observed the man who'd been demon-possessed sitting down. He's at peace. He's at peace. He's not running around being tormented by the devil. He's seated. Clothed. He's not naked. He's clothed. And Paul in Romans says that we have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's in his right mind, verse 15. Romans chapter 1 says that in our sin, you and I were given over to a depraved mind, a mind that does not work properly. Ephesians 4 says that you and I had a futile mind in our sin. But Paul says that now we have the mind of Christ. Verse 15, the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to what had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. Isn't that the attitude of the saved person? When you are saved by Jesus Christ, you want nothing more than to hang out with him. Amen? You want nothing more than to read his word. You want nothing more than to surrender to his Holy Spirit in your life and let him lead you and let him guide you. You want nothing to do with your old life. You only want to follow Jesus. Verse 19, he did not let him. But Jesus said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And the man went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Jesus says, I'm going to leave now, but what I want you to do is spend the rest of your life telling everyone about the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine how silly this story would be if the man looked at Jesus and said, oh, you saved me by grace. I didn't have to do anything. You just reached down and saved me, and I'm forgiven. This is so great. Hey, do you think I could keep running around naked in the tomb and gash myself with rocks? Can I keep up that old life? Because that was really great. You saved me by your grace. You saved me by your good, good love, and you forgave me. And I didn't have to do anything. Can I keep living my old life? And that's how silly it is for you and I to keep wanting to live our old life. You haven't understood the gospel if you want to keep living like you used to. That man wanted nothing to do with his old life. And in Christ, we want nothing to do with our old life. Would you say amen to that? We have the power and privilege to live a new life. You couldn't do it before, but now you can. So Trinity Baptist Church, not to earn God's love, not to earn your way to heaven, not to earn your salvation, but because you have it, Let's abide in Christ. Let's surrender to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our life. And let's live the new life that we've been given. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to help each other. And by your Spirit, lead us. Lead us on that new road. Lead and we will follow. In Jesus' name, amen.